Good morning. How is everyone this morning? There's lots of smiles on the faces this morning. That's good. It's sunshine. It's springtime. 7 days till spring break for our, I thought our teachers would scream a little bit louder than that. Maybe they're still recovering. Good to see everybody this morning. My name is Jeff Allen. I'm the associate pastor, students and families here at College Park, and we invite you to join us with worship this morning. As we get started, I invite you to take a look at your pews. There are pew pads on every pew in the sanctuary this morning. We invite you, this is a way for us to find out who was in worship with us this morning. Whether you're a member or a guest, we invite you to take this and fill the information out. Put your name, any information. Guests, we invite you to fill all the information out so we know how to best contact you. Members, we ask that you only fill in the information that may have changed, any address change information or email or phone number, and then everyone to check the boxes that are appropriate. Pass that down to the end of the pew so that everyone can sign it, and then when you're done, send it back to where it started so our ushers can pick those up a little bit later. We continue to get good information with this and appreciate you helping us with this pew pad. Other announcements I'll make. There are Lenten devotional guides. We are in the season of Lent right now, and there are two pieces that we've been promoting over the last several weeks. Number one, The Greatest Sacrifice, which is a personal devotion guide that is for you for the entire journey of Lent. And then there's God's Sacrifice for You. This is something for you to be able to hand out to a neighbor who maybe is unchurched or is not familiar with church and the Christian faith. This is a great opportunity for you to invite them to Easter services and some information about things that we believe. So those are two pieces that are available at the Welcome Center desk. A reminder to our youth and, more importantly, to their parents, our spring break trip is coming up next Tuesday, and the deposit for that is due today. So anybody that's going on the spring break trip, if you can get a deposit in to me today, a $50 deposit, and any questions that you have, just let me know. This afternoon at 5 o'clock, we are having a Jim Royston. He is former executive director of the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina. He will be here to discuss several items as we are in the process of determining what our mission plan for College Park Baptist Church is going to be. He will come and talk to about kind of what the situation is in Baptist circles, and he will know. He is executive director for several years, the state convention, and I know that you will enjoy getting to meet him, and he has a lot of knowledge, and you will enjoy seeing him this afternoon at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary. Regular schedule this afternoon, everything else, including our life service, which is at 7 o'clock this evening. That is our contemporary service that happens in Smith Hall, which is just behind me and to the right. We invite you to come and be a part of that. That's a more informal service, but a great time of worship together. A regular Wednesday night this week. And I think that's all the announcements. We do want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. We have ushers that are coming down the aisles now. We know that you've already filled in your name and contact information, but we would like to give you a newsletter. Inside this newsletter is information about our church. We invite you just to raise your hand if you're a guest this morning. We're so glad that you decided to join us, and we want to give this to you so you can get to know us a little bit better. Our worship service is the best way to get to know the people of College Park because it's one of the things we do really well is worship together. But the newsletter is another way for you to find out things that are going on in the life of our church. And we appreciate the opportunity to worship with you, and we pray that this hour of worship will be a blessing to you. It is time for us to begin our hour of worship, and I invite you to stand for our invitation to share in worship. I invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print in your bulletin. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Amen. You may be seated.
Oh, Lord, how majestic is your name. pray with me? Father, as we woke up this morning and we made plans to come to church this morning, it was easy to see you at work. As we looked outside and we could see the beautiful sunshine and the skies, we could see the creation of your people as we drove here. We could see you working. Father, we're not so sure why we're here this morning. Yeah, we wanted to come to worship you. We wanted to come to give you praise and to give you glory and to sing songs of praise. We needed to see people in our Sunday school classes or people that we sit with and worship. Father, this morning we are not so sure why we are here specifically. Father, I believe there's a message that you have for us this day. And it's easy for us to get into a routine of coming to church and missing the message. You want to speak directly to us this morning. Come into this place and speak directly to us. May our ears be open. May our hearts be prepared for what you're going to do in this service. We want to see you and to see you clearly, because in you we find the answers to our questions. So may this worship be for you and you alone. In Christ's name, amen. I invite you to take your hymnal, turn to the back of your hymnal, responsive reading number 671. There you will find near the back of the hymnal, Love, Mercy, and Grace, number 671. Invite you to read the dark print as I read the light print. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all
His enemies. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him.
Want to invite the children to come on down for children's time. Boom. Hey, buddy. How you doing? Well, I like that shirt. Man, that is sharp. Gold pants to match. Yes, you do.
Ethan, I got a Wake Forest sweater, too.
A Wake Forest what? Sweater? Oh, my goodness. You must have very spiritual parents and grandparents that buy those things for you. Indeed. We're going to have a riddle this morning. Do you like riddles? Do you like riddles? Okay. Here's the riddle. This is, what am I? Okay. What am I? I'm invisible, which means what? You can't see me. Right. You can't see this, whatever it is. You can't see it, but you can feel it whenever someone gives you a nice hug, or when grandma gives you a kiss on the cheek, or when someone says something kind to you. You can feel it when you know people care about you. What do you think it is? Who said it? Love. It sure is. Love. All right. Who made love? This is going to symbolize the heart. Symbolizes love. Okay. All right. Who made love? Yes, ma'am. Yes, he did. God, Jesus made love. Now, I got another question for you. What's that?
Money.
Now, how much money? Do you think this amount of money would buy love?
No.
No. How much would it take?
Nothing.
Nothing? No amount of money. Why?
Because you can't buy love.
You can't buy love. You can't love. Why can't you buy love?
I don't remember.
You don't remember?
It's a feeling.
It's a feeling. That's right. You can't buy it because it's free. Right? Who gives us love?
God
does. That's right. God made love, and he gives it to us freely. Okay? Now, if God gives us love and it's free, how do we show him that we're thankful for that gift of love? Praise him. That's right. That's what we do when we worship, right? We praise God. How else do we show him we're thankful for love?
Pray.
Pray. That's right. How else? Show. How do we show love?
Being
kind to people. That's great. How else do we show him we're thankful? Yes, sir.
Not be mad.
Don't be mad. That's right. How else? Can you think of other ways?
Reading the Bible.
What?
Sing songs.
Those are all great ways to show God that we're thankful for his love, right? And we're all going to do better this week to do all of those things, right? Yes, we're all going to do better. We're going to close in a prayer, and it's going to be a little bit different, okay? It's going to be an eyes open prayer. Because we're talking to God and everybody else is just eavesdropping, okay? All right? So it's an eyes open prayer. And whenever I hold the heart up, you're going to say, thank you, God. Okay? Can we do that? All right. For the gift of your love.
Thank you, God.
For warm, gentle hugs.
Thank you, God.
For kind friends and kind words.
Thank you, God.
For mamas and daddies and aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas and great grandmas and great grandpas.
Thank you, God.
For the gift of love that you gave to us through Jesus Christ, your Son.
Thank you, God.
Amen. You can go back to your seats.
Our scripture lesson this morning begins in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter of Numbers, verses 4 through 9. Hear the word of God. They traveled from Mount Hor along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom, but the people grew impatient on the way. They spoke against God and against Moses and said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the desert? There is no bread, there is no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them. They bit the people, and many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We sinned when we spoke against the Lord and against you. Pray that the Lord will take the snakes away from us." So Moses prayed for the people. The Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake and put it up on a pole. Anyone who is bitten can look at it and live. So Moses made a bronze snake and put it up on a pole. Then when anyone was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, he lived. And from the New Testament, in the Gospel of John, a familiar passage in chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly what he has done has been through God. May God bless the hearing and understanding of his holy word.
As we go to the Father in confession, we need to do so with the recognition that we are sinful creatures. As Jason read from the third chapter of John, we don't like light because it reveals our deep secrets. But here's the good news. God knows our deep secrets, and he stands ready to forgive us of those times when we failed him, those dark moments in our life, if we'll just confess that to him. So as we come together in this, the season of Lent, it's a time for reflection, a time for agreement with God about our mortality. It's a time for agreement with God about the ugliness of our sin. And it's a time for confession. So as we enter together in confession, I'll give you a few moments to approach the Father as a minister, as a priest in and of your own right, because of what Jesus has done for us, we go directly to the Father and ask forgiveness. And following a time of confession, I'll close this in prayer. Let's pray together. Dear Father, we pray that you would listen to our hearts, because sometimes our minds are so cluttered that we can't even place into words the frustration or the hurt or the anger that we feel. Father, we also claim the promise that when our mind cannot conceive of what to say as we approach you in prayer, that the Holy Spirit will intercede on our behalf and interpret our groanings for us. Father, for all the times that we've failed you by what we have done and left undone, we ask your forgiveness. Father, for hateful comments and for poor attitudes, we ask your forgiveness. Father, for approaching the world and approaching people who need compassion with a heart of haughtiness and arrogance, we also ask your forgiveness. Father, help us to be like Christ, to be people of humble spirits, to be people filled with compassion, to be people who are filled with your love, and to make that very evident with everyone that we encounter, our children, our spouses, people we work with, the people we pass in the hall at school, the people we encounter in the drugstore, the people we walk beside as we walk in our community together. Father, fill us with the kind of love that always seeks what others desire before ourselves. We had a perfect model in that, and we have a perfect model in that in the life of Jesus. And we pray that your grace and your mercy would fill us so that others could truly see that we serve a God who gives us grace and mercy, grace that is much greater than our sin, grace that is capable and able and willing to forgive our sin, all because of the person of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Pray with me. Gracious and perfect Father, we come to you this morning to say thank you. Thank you for the gift of infinite grace. We thank you for the gift of precious children. We thank you for the gift of knowledge to build and remodel homes for our neighbors in need. We thank you for the gift of outreach, that when we leave this church, we take and spread your word. We thank you for the gift of hope, for the gift of life, as we watch you heal our brother from cancer. Father, we're in a broken world, a world that tells us to put ourselves first. We thank you this morning for your patience. And remind us that we should have all the faith in you and not our jobs or our schools. We should have more trust in you, not in our family and friends. That we should love you more than we love ourselves. Father, we pray this morning that you will accept our gifts, that you will use them to touch the lives of someone who needs to know what a wonderful gift we have in Jesus. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Now you know why, whenever we hear a description of heaven in Scripture, they talk about singing and say nothing about preaching. Man. Theologically speaking, at that point, we will know Christ as He is and all that, but still, I understand why heaven is very enticing because of the praise and the worship, the singing that will take place. And the good news is that when we get to heaven, all of us will be able to sing like them. So that's a good thing. But until we get there, we will sing together and we will learn as best we can together and read from God's Word. And we're going to pause for a few moments and do exactly that. If you will take out your Bible, or there's a copy of the Pew Bible in front of you, we're going to read this morning from Ephesians chapter 2. And we'll be reading the first 10 verses of Ephesians chapter 2. Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus. He says to them, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgression. It is by grace that you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith. This is not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Back in January, my family and I had met for supper. And after we ate, my family went home, as is often the case, and I went somewhere else. On this particular evening, I was going to the funeral home. It was visitation out at Hayworth Miller on Silas Creek Parkway. So I was driving there, and about halfway there, it occurred to me it probably wouldn't be a good idea to show up with Bojangles breath. So I stopped at the BP station there at Forsyth Hospital and went into the store and purchased one of those little boxes of breath mints. Put my dollar on the counter, and the guy gave me 2 cents or 3 cents change. What a shame. But as I was walking back to the car, I noticed that on the box, there was one of these little peel-off things. So I thought, okay, sure. So I peel off the little game piece, and I look at it, and it hit me. It hit me kind of hard. Because right there in the middle of the parking lot, it read in very bright words, "Sorry, you're not a winner. Try again." That was harsh. That was a little hurtful. Now, admittedly, I did not expect there to be great news from a breath mint box. Okay, that was not my expectation. But then I began thinking, well, how do they know? How do they know that I'm not a winner? As I said before, that's a little hurtful. So I began considering, I didn't have a whole lot else to consider at that point, I began considering perhaps how they knew that I was not a winner. We were in the thralls of the NFL playoffs, and perhaps the breath mint people knew that I was a Carolina Panther fan, and a Panther fan would take that game piece and peel it off and say, "You're not a winner." They would know that the Panthers were going to lose in the playoffs. Or perhaps they knew that I was going to be a Wake Forest fan, and in January it was a dark month. And they would know that you're not a winner. Maybe there was something deeper. Maybe they knew the history. Maybe they knew my history. And they knew that in high school I had certain goals that I wanted to set in terms of athleticism. The academics came well, but I was set these goals, and because of circumstances, I was not able to achieve those particular goals. Maybe they knew that when I got to Wake Forest, organic chemistry would be my demise. I don't know. What did they know about me? Maybe they knew that there were other times in my life that I had goals, lofty goals, and I fell just a little bit short of my own standards. So perhaps they thought, this guy's not a winner. Or perhaps it was just a general commentary about humankind. The fact that we take the classification of winner and we assign it to a very privileged few. Maybe they knew that chances of winning by the world standards are about as slim as our chances of winning the lottery. Who knows? But as I reflected on these things, I decided, you know, with pastors, we're looking for sermon illustration stuff all the time. And this is good stuff. We can take breath mint boxes and we can apply it back to the basics. We can apply it back to the basics of the Bible. Because the Bible gives us information that is very relevant. And as we apply Scripture to our lives, it is enlightening. It should transform us. It should change who we are. Even breath mint boxes can drive us back to the basics of God's Word. Drive us back to the Word made flesh who dwelt among us so that we could behold God's glory. After losing an inane contest like this, even we can be reminded that Jesus the Christ came. He came to this earth. But as he came to this earth, we have to remember, he was not a winner by the world standards. Think about it. By the world standards, Jesus was a loser. But he was a winner because he came to defeat sin, and he came to defeat Satan, not with power, not with might, not with the sword and the shield and the battle cry as his enemies cowered with fear. He came and he gave up. He lost his life so that we would not lose our life, eternally speaking. Apostle Paul in the second chapter here of Ephesians that we've read reminds us that the salvation that God provides for us does not come by a contest. It doesn't come by some sort of competition. It's a free gift. He says it this way, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can brag. No one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Did you hear that part? You know, there's a running commentary in Christian circles about what is the relationship of salvation and works. And right here, Paul tells us, we cannot achieve salvation by works because God placed it as a free gift for us. We can't achieve it by works. Therefore, we can't boast about it. It's a free gift. Cannot be achieved by works. But he goes on to say, we've been created in Christ Jesus for good works. For good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. As Christians, we are saved to serve. Serve a holy God who has prepared beforehand for us to accomplish good works in His name. That's good news. That's great news. That takes the pressure off because we are living to serve a holy God who not only has called us to do that, but has equipped us and given us the Holy Spirit, the power to do that. He's given us free, totally free salvation. But it came with a price in Christ Jesus. We've been given something that breath mints or lottery or whatever else can never hope to promise to achieve. We've been made God's children. We've been given the gift of eternal life. God has created us to be His people through faith. And it's in our salvation that we have been given this promise. And it's also the very grace of God that has made us one with God. Now think about that. We've been made one with God. We should live lives that reflect that we have been transformed, because indeed we have. As believers, we have been made new creations in Christ. We should live our lives to reflect that. We recognize that our lives need not be filled with stuff like we've talked a little bit about. We don't have to be filled with struggles, or we don't have to be controlled by little games and little contests that sometimes people play with one another. We need not be controlled by that. We don't have to live vicariously through our children, so that the sun rises or sets on how our child behaves that day, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. We raise them in the fear and the admonition of the Lord, and we encourage them, but we don't live vicariously through them. We don't live vicariously through our sports teams, who we have made the modern Messiah of the 21st century in America, so that when they win, we're on cloud nine and life is good. And when they lose, oh man, life is so dismal. It's so dark. And it's a good thing, because in March Madness, many of the brackets have been turned completely upside down. And a lot of people would be miserable if that was the essence of their existence. Being made God's people, God's children, has changed us. It's changed us so that we recognize that life is not a game. Life is a gift. It's to be received as a gift. And because life is a gift, we should treat others as a gift as well. We can begin to look at other people not as our antagonist, but our allies. People of God, what would happen if we really treated each other in that way? What would happen if we used our mouths and our speech to edify instead of tear down? When we tear each other down, we destroy not only our witness, but we destroy the witness of the people of God to those who are looking at us as the only Christian that they may know. What would happen if the nations of the world saw each other in this manner? What would happen? You see, time is a gift. The time that we spend with one another in fellowship, this is a very short staging ground for eternity. This life is very brief. And the time that we spend together is a gift. It's a gift to be with one another. It's not to be wasted. It's a gift from a benevolent God. It's not to be wasted. As the saying goes, it's not to be killed. Killing time. It's not to be killed. Time is to be used for our benefit and for the glory of God. That's what our days are supposed to be filled with. To benefit one another and to give glory to God. Each minute, every second, every hour is precious. For those that have lost loved ones in the last year, you understand that maybe a little more than others. Life is precious. We've been given great news. We've been made God's people. We've been given the gift of salvation. We've been given the gift of time and fellowship with one another. And that is much more precious than anything you could win on the back of a breath mint box. That's much more precious than anything you can win in a lottery. That's much more precious than your sports team winning whatever championship that you may desire for them. We have great news. We have great news to share with other people. We have been made winners in Christ, who gave up His life so that we may have life and have it what? more abundantly. Do you catch that? Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, real life, and have it more abundantly. Not as the world sees, have it more abundantly. About a month after all of this happened, I went back to the same BP station. I was on the way into Forsyth Hospital, and I stopped there to get some $3 a gallon gasoline. As I was filling it up, I walked inside and picked up another box of these 98-cent breath mints and put it on the table and gave the guy my dollar. And as I walked out, I was delighted to see that there was no declaration of whether I was a winner or not on this particular box. The slate had been wiped clean, if you will. But people of God, that's exactly the opportunity that is afforded to us through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. The slate has been wiped clean. In confession, we are forgiven. In His death, we are made one with God. That's the good news that we should embrace. That is the good news that we need to share with those who've lost track of what it is to live life. People of God, it's time for us to live as those who have been created as God's people, one with God. Because life is not a contest. Life is not a game. Life is not a struggle, but it's a gift to be celebrated through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's pray together. Dear Father, forgive us when we play games. We play games with relationships that are precious and holy. We play games with the things that we say and the way we treat people. We play games with you because we come into your house and we put on a great face and Father, just forgive us of those times. Help us to embrace the free gift that you've given us and to live like children of the King. And we will give you the praise and the glory. And all of God's people said, amen. This morning as we've worshiped together, maybe God has touched your heart. I hope that what you've experienced here has been meaningful to you. Hope it's been life-changing. The good news of Jesus should be life-changing. And we want to give you a chance to respond to that. If you're not a believer, you don't have a personal relationship with a holy God who created you, there's an opportunity today for you to receive Christ and to begin life eternal with Him in His presence. I want to give you a chance to do that. If you'll come forward, I'll be glad to share with you. If you want to catch me following the service, that's fine as well. I'll let you know how to receive Christ as your personal Savior. If you're a member somewhere else, or if you're not a member and you would like to be a part of this fellowship, as the saying goes, we're not in the business of stealing sheep, but if one shows up at our door, we'll feed them. So we'd love for you to be a part of this congregation, and we will feed and encourage you as best we can. And we invite you to come, and I'll share with you the many ways that we receive members here at College Park. Whatever your decision may be, we invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. want to invite you back tonight for the discussion at 5 o'clock, and then stay with us for the life service. And we'll have kind of a unique look at God's forgiveness and what that provides to us. I invite you to come back tonight for that. Also, if you would please remain standing for our benediction from God's Word. From Romans chapter 1, hear the words, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Oh,